Chapter 21. Dash what the council determined about Harrow's, the condemnation of High's followers. High's writings are to be burned. Certain of the high priests differ from the council. The settlement of the Passover. It ought to be known that they affirmed the Son to be consubstantial with the Father, and that those are to be excommunicated and voted aliens to the Catholic Church, who assert that there was a time in which the Son existed not, and before he was begotten he was not, and that he was made from what had no existence, and that he is of another hypostasis or substance from the Father, and that he is subject to change or mutation. This decision was sanctioned by Eusebius, bishop of Nicomedia, by Theognis, bishop of Nicaea, by Maris, bishop of Chalcedon, by Patrophilus, bishop of Scythopolis, and by Secundus, bishop of Tolise in Libya. 3. Eusebius Pamphilus, however, withheld his assent for a little while, but on further examination assented. 4. The council excommunicated Arius and his adherents, and prohibited his entering Alexandria. The words in which his opinions were couched were likewise condemned, as also a work entitled Thalia, which he had written on the subject. I have not read this book, but I understand that it is of a loose character, resembling in license Sotardus. 5. It ought to be known that although Eusebius, bishop of Nicomedia, and Theognis, bishop of Nicaea, assented to the document of this faith set forth by the council, they neither agreed nor subscribed to the deposition of Arius. The emperor punished Arius with exile, and dispatched edicts to the bishops and people of every country, denouncing him and his adherents as ungodly, and commanding that their books should be destroyed, in order that no remembrance of him or of the doctrine which he had broached might remain. Whoever should be found secreting his writings and who should not burn them immediately on the accusation, should undergo the penalty of death, and suffer capital punishment. The emperor wrote letters to every city against Arius and those who had received his doctrines, and commanded Eusebius and Theognis to quit the cities whereof they were bishops. He addressed himself in particular to the church of Nicomedia, urging it to adhere to the faith which had been set forth by the council, to elect orthodox bishops, to obey them, and to let the past fall into oblivion, and he threatened with punishment those who should venture to speak well of the exiled bishops, or to adopt their sentiments. In these and in other letters, he manifested resentment against Eusebius, because he had previously adopted the opinions of the tyrant, and had engaged in his plots. In accordance with the imperial edicts, Eusebius and Theognis were ejected from the churches which they held, and Amphion received that of Nicomedia, and Christus that of Nicaea. On the termination of this doctrinal controversy, the council decided that the Paschal feast should be celebrated at the same time in every place. 1. Chapter 22. Eusebius, bishop of the Novatians, is summoned by the emperor to be present at the first council. It is related that the emperor, under the impulse of an ardent desire to see harmony re-established among Christians, summoned Eusebius, bishop of the Church of the Novatians, to the council, placed before him the definition of the faith and of the feast, which had already been confirmed by the signatures of the bishops, and asked whether he could agree thereto. Eusebius answered that their exposition defined no new doctrine, and that he accorded in opinion with the synod, and that he had from the beginning held these sentiments with respect both to the faith and to the feast. "Why, then," said the emperor, "do you keep aloof from communion with others, if you are of one mind with them?" He replied that the dissension first broke out trade Odysseus, between Novatius and Cornelius. 3. And that he considered such persons unworthy of communion who, after baptism, had fallen into those sins which the Scriptures declare to be unto death. 4. For that the remission of those sins, he thought, depended on the authority of God only, and not on the priests. The emperor replied, by saying, "O Eusebius, take a ladder and ascend alone to heaven." By this speech I do not imagine the emperor intended to praise Eusebius, but rather to blame him, because, being but a man, he fancied himself exempt from sin. 5. Chapter 23. Canons appointed by the council. Paphnutius, a certain confessor, restrains the council from forming a canon and joining celibacy to all who were about to be honored with the priesthood. Zealous of reforming the life of those who were engaged about the churches, the synod enacted laws which were called canons. 6. While they were deliberating about this, some thought that a law ought to be passed enacting that bishops and presbyters, deacons and subdeacons, should hold no intercourse with the wife they had espoused before they entered the priesthood. But Paphnutius, 7, the confessor, stood up and testified against this proposition. He said that marriage was honorable and chaste, and that cohabitation with their own wives was chastity, and advised the synod not to frame such a law, for it would be difficult to bear, and might serve as an occasion of incontinence to them and their wives. And he reminded them that according to the ancient tradition of the church, those who were unmarried when they took part in the communion of sacred orders were required to remain so, but that those who were married were not to put away their wives. Such was the advice of Paphnutius, although he was himself unmarried, and in accordance with it, the synod concurred in his counsel, enacted no law about it, but left the matter to the decision of individual judgment, and not to compulsion. The synod, however, enacted other laws regulating the government of the church, and these laws may easily be found, as they are in the possession of many individuals. Chapter 24 – Concerning Militias. The excellent directions made by the Holy Council in Hies Complications. After an investigation had been made into the conduct of Militias when in Egypt, the synod sentenced him to reside in Lycus, 8, and to retain only the name of bishop, and prohibited him from ordaining anyone either in a city or a village. Those who had previously been ordained by him were permitted by this law to remain in communion and in the ministry, but were to be accounted secondary in point of dignity to the clergy in church and parish. 9. When by death an appointment became vacant, they were allowed to succeed to it, if deemed worthy, by the vote of the multitude, but in this case were to be ordained by the bishop of the Church of Alexandria, for they were interdicted from exercising any power or influence in elections. This regulation appeared just to the synod, for Militias, 1, and his followers had manifested great rashness and temerity in administering ordination, so that it also deprived the ordinations which differed from those of Peter of all consideration. He, when he conducted the Alexandrian church, fled on account of the persecution then raging, but afterwards suffered martyrdom. Chapter 25 – The emperor prepared a public table for the synod, after inviting its members to Constantinople, and honoring them with gifts. He exhorted all to be of one mind, and forwarded to Alexandria and every other place the decrees of the Holy Synod. At the very time that these decrees were passed by the council, the 20th anniversary, 2, of the reign of Constantine was celebrated, for it was a Roman custom to have a feast on the 10th year of every reign. The emperor, therefore, thought it to be opportune, and invited the synod to the festival, and presented suitable gifts to them, and when they prepared to return home, he called them all together, and exhorted them to be of one mind about the faith and at peace among themselves, so that no dissensions might henceforth creep in among them. After many other similar exhortations, he concluded by commanding them to be diligent in prayer, and always to supplicate God for himself, his children, and the empire. And after he had thus addressed those who had come to Nicaea, he bade them farewell. He wrote to the churches in every city, in order that he might make plain to those who had not been present what had been rectified by the synod, and especially to the church of Alexandria he wrote more than this, urging them to lay aside all dissent, and to be harmonious in the faith issued by the synod, for this could be nothing else than the judgment of God, since it was established by the Holy Spirit from the concurrence of so many and such illustrious high priests, and approved after accurate inquiry and test of all the doubtful points.